thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her and did eat. So we see right here sin entered into the world. Sin has entered into the world because man did what God told him not to do. So we see a new dilemma in the world. We see now, as we flip forward to our scriptures, we see that mankind has progressed. We see that there's more people on the earth. Man has went out and there's more people here on the earth, and sin is in the world, and people are starting to fall away from God. They're not trusting God like they did back when it was Adam and Eve. Sin just keeps coming, and it keeps coming, and it drove humankind to a different level. And God sees that there was great wickedness upon the earth. He sees that every man's heart and imagination was only evil. Their only thing that they thought was evil. And so God came and He said, I'm going to judge the earth. I'm going to flood the earth. I'm going to rid the earth of this. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I get to thinking about Noah. It says these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and a perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. I get to thinking about Noah's great-grandfather, Enoch. It also says that Enoch walked with God. So we see that Noah, he's got a good heritage in his life. He's continuing to walk with God because his fathers walked with God. And he's learned from their paths that he can walk in their shoes too. That he can walk closely with God. And God has recognized Noah. And that he said, Noah, you found grace in my eyes. Noah, I'm going to send a storm. Noah, I'm going to send a flood to this earth. And Noah, I want you to build an ark. And so Noah did accordingly to the Lord. You see, Noah didn't take no chances and say, Lord, I don't know if you're telling the truth or not. He believed God was telling the truth. And that's what we have to do today. We have to believe when God is speaking that He's telling the truth, because God has never told a lie, and He's never gave us a reason to doubt Him before. And so here Noah begins to build the ark. And can't you see, as he's building the ark, maybe he's going into town and he's starting to get some wood together to build this ark. And he goes and he starts building, and somebody comes walking by and they say, Noah, what are you building right there? That looks like a good bench. And Noah says, I'm building an ark. And they go, Noah, why in the world are you building an ark? He said, God said it's going to flood. God's bringing judgment to the earth. You ought to repent of your sins so that you can get on board and be safe. And the person say, it's never flooded before. That ain't gonna happen. You're crazy. You're a fool. And so he went on about his business, and Noah, he just kept building his ark. He kept trusting God, even though mankind is coming and they're telling Noah that it ain't gonna happen, that Noah is a fool for believing the Lord. Noah stayed faithful to God, and he continued to build the ark. God gave mankind 120 years to get right of their sins. It said that their number of days was 120 years. And then we get to see about this ark that Noah's built. I get to thinking about just how big it was. It says God gave Noah all the instructions of how to build it. He didn't just say, Noah, build an ark and leave him alone. He gave Noah the instructions of how to build this ark. And so we know that this ark is 1,500,000 cubic feet. It would be three stories high. You could fit 552 railroad cars inside that ark. That's just how big it is. I get to thinking about the animals that come on board. We know that in today's world there's about 18,000 or so different species on the earth. And so back then there's species that are now extinct. So if you times it by two, and then you times it by two again, because two of each kind got on board, that's 72,000 different animals that got on board that ark. That's 60% of the ark, and then 40% is left for mankind to be on that ark. That includes all their food and everything that they need to live. The average animal size on this ark would be that of about a small dog. And so finally, we get to this point in chapter number 7, that Noah has finished the ark. He's finished the work of the Lord. And it says, and the Lord said unto Noah, come thou. I want to stop right there. The Bible says, come thou. That's a tenth. If I said, Aaron, come here, that means Aaron's going to come to where I am. But if I said, Aaron, go over there, Aaron's going to go somewhere that I'm not. It said, the Bible said, the Lord said, come thou. That means that God's in the ark. God's waiting on Noah to come to the ark. God is waiting inside the ark for Noah. God is there. And we see that once Noah's there, he didn't even have to go out. He didn't have to try to get the animals. The animals had an instinct from God to come and make their way. Maybe a giraffe and his little mate come walking through, and the humankind's sitting there and they're going, "How's Noah doing that? How's Noah doing that? How's he commanding those animals?" A rhinoceros come walking through. "How's he doing that?" And they just get on board calmly because God's put that instinct in them. And then we see that God gives mankind 7 more days. It says in verse 4 of chapter 7, it says, "For yet 7 days." That means that God is extending His 120 years to 7 more days for mankind to repent of their sins. Nobody has repented of their sins in 120 years. He has preached faithfully to the people, and no one has got right with God. No one's got right. Could you imagine preaching for 120 years and not a single soul say, I believe that. I want to get on board that boat. That happened to Noah. Not a single soul. And 7 more days, Noah's preaching. He's saying God's going to send a flood in 7 days. Day 1 comes, and not a cloud in the sky. And all the crowds gather around there and say, "Noah, it's not even cloudy. It ain't doing nothing." Day after day, they keep scoffing at Noah as he's preaching God's word. They keep laughing at him as he's preaching God's word. Then day 7 comes, and Noah preaches. And God finally says, "Get inside." And God shut the door. He shut the door. And I wonder if mankind might have sat there and saw that door shut and think, "How'd he do that? How in the world did that door just shut without him even touching it? How did that door just shut?" But the thing is, the Bible said that the Lord shut him in. It said it's in verse 16 in the last part of it. It says, "And the Lord shut him in." And I believe as soon as he shut him in, the flood started. I think as soon as that door shut, here come a big cloud. Here come a streak of lightning. Here come the rains. Here come the thunderings. And I think about how humankind then started thinking, he's telling the truth. "Noah! Noah, let us in! Noah, let us in! Noah, let us in! We believe you now!" But the thing is, Noah can't hear them. Noah can't hear them. I don't believe that Noah could hear them outside. And it doesn't matter if Noah can hear them or not, because God shut him in and Noah cannot undo what God has done. And so we get through time here on the ark, and mankind's been destroyed. Animals have been destroyed except for those on the boat. And the floods have begun to stop. And we get to chapter number 9. And we see that they are off the boat in verse number 20, chapter 9, verse number 20. The Bible says, "And Noah began to be a husbandman, and he planted a vineyard, and he drank of the wine and was drunken, and he was uncovered within his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without." You see, Ham looked upon his father's nakedness, and now sin has made its way right back into humanity. And we go throughout the scriptures of sin after sin coming throughout humankind. I think about Joseph. I think about how his brothers sold him into slavery and then went back and lied to their dad and said that he died. They lied about their own brother. And so if people that believe in God would do such a thing, think about the ones that don't believe in God. Think about the wickedness of the earth that's already back, that's already corrupted, the sin. It's just steamrolling through the scriptures. I think about all the prophets that were preaching of God's word, telling the people to repent of their sins, to get right. But sin kept on. And we get to a point in the scriptures where a day came and an angel came up to a woman and said, "Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." And here comes the Son, Jesus Christ, the God's only Son, coming to this earth as a babe, coming to this earth to rid us of sin, coming to this earth. And he goes about his life ministering to the people, preaching God's word. He is God himself. And then sin and corruption and the devil, they get their hands on him finally, and they put him on a rugged cross. They put him on the cross, and he suffers and he bleeds and dies there on that cross. And they took him off the cross and they put him in the grave. And death thought that they had won. Sin thought that they had won, but they didn't. Jesus got up on the third day and He arose again. He arose again on the third day and He's living evermore. We know in Acts chapter number 1, I know we're doing a lot of scripture rummaging, but in Acts chapter number 1, the Bible says Jesus is talking to His disciples after He is resurrected. And it says, "And when He had spoken these things while they beheld, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, 'Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into the heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen Him go into heaven.'" So here comes the Son. Jesus, we know, is coming back for us one day. One day, Jesus is coming back. We know that we can trust His promises. As Aaron was talking about God's promises, it ran all through me, about how we can trust in God's promises and we can live by God's promises. If you're saved today, you have the everlasting hope that Jesus is coming again. You have the everlasting hope that when you die, you will go to heaven. But I tell you today, if you are not saved, you do not have that everlasting hope. You see, the Jesus' return is a joy for those that saved. But for those that's not saved, that's lost, it's a tragedy. It's a tragedy. They're scared. They run in fear that Jesus is coming back. I think in the book of Matthew, chapter number 24, if you'll turn there, this is an important text. Matthew chapter number 24. I'll give you time to turn there. It's important. In verse 36, it says, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. You see, when the world gets back to that point of Noah's day, Christ will return. Christ will return. And I wonder today if we aren't nearing or are in those times that are just like Noah's day, where men are doing whatever they please, whatever they think is right in their own eyes, they begin to do. I get to thinking about the way this world is going, the way that things are going in this world, the way that things are going in America. We're going away from God drastically. It seems like sin has its pedal to the metal in this world today. It seems that hope is starting to dim. But I tell you what, today we have an everlasting hope in Jesus that He's going to return. It says when the days of Noah are in that day, He'll return. And we have that hope that Jesus is going to return for us. But I tell you today, if you're not saved, you need to get saved before it's ever lasting too late. I get to thinking, the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter number 3, the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter number 3, it says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, in contempt, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." I always see that we hear these things and we can recognize different situations in America today. Different situations in America. As we read each different word in the scripture there, we can recognize situations in our world today. God help. But we know that Jesus is coming back. 1 Thessalonians, the Bible says, in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, verse 16, it says, "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be called up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So we see that Jesus will return into the clouds, and we can have hope in His promises. We can have hope in His promises, but there's a warning in His promise that one day the ark's going to shut. One day it's going to shut to where there's no more salvation. One day is coming when you will no longer be able to get on board the ship of Zion. The ship of Zion is just like the ark. You one day will no longer be able to get on. One day the floods will begin. One day the judgment of the earth is going to come. Now we do know that God promised through a rainbow that He would never flood the earth again. But we know that it will end in fire. If you'll turn with me to the book of Revelations. In the book of Revelations, chapter number 20. There's a scene here where the doors are closed. And there's no more opportunity. The Bible says in verse number 11, it says, "And I saw a great white throne, and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." The lake of fire tonight. The lake of fire this morning. I wonder today, is your name in the book of life? That's one of the most important things that you'll ever come to in your life, is the time that you meet Jesus. There will be a crossroads in your life at some point where you will be faced with a situation of, do I choose Jesus? Or do I choose myself in the world? You'll get to that point. And we know the people, they had the chance here in the days of Noah. They had the chance 120 years. They had 7 extra days. And today you have the golden opportunity. You're in the house of God. You're listening by way of Facebook. You're listening by the way of the internet. You have a golden opportunity to get right with God. Don't be like the people of Noah's day. Don't be scoffers and laughers. We know the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter number 3, 2 Peter chapter number 3, the Bible says, "Knowing this verse, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished." All we see that there's going to be scoffers and laughers. I get to thinking, people's probably saying, "Jesus has been promising to come for 2,000 years. Where's your God?" Oh, He's coming. He's coming. People back in Noah's day, they were saying, "It's been 120 years. Noah, time's up. Where's God?" Oh, He's coming. Judgment is coming to this earth. He said, "You can rest assured in my promises, because I've not failed to keep a promise." He said, because that the earth was standing in water, because of the flood, you can count on another judgment coming. You can count on my promises because of what was. The Bible says here in verse number 9 of that same chapter, 2 Peter 3, it says, "And the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." God wants us all to repent. He wants us all. He's long-suffering and patient. But there is going to come an end to His long-suffering and His patience. There will be an end to how much it can take. If you would stand to your feet. I think that when God shut the ark, it was too late. And when God's judgment comes, it'll also be too late. Pastor, would you come?
We talked last Sunday morning in the message, I heard about having compassion, making a difference. And that there's people all around us. When Jesus saw the multitude, He told His disciples, He said, we've got to do something about this. Brother Luther Spivey comes in here on Wednesday night and preaches about we got to get a burden. We got to see souls saved. You just heard another preacher walk in here this morning and say we're running out of time. And I want to tell you that Jesus is coming back. And we have less time today than we did yesterday. If you're not saved, you might have tomorrow, and you might have next year, and you might have 50 years. You also might not. We're planning on coming back tonight, but I can tell you, I've read that book. I've read the Bible, and I wouldn't be surprised if we're not back tonight. That's what my Bible says. Just like He said, people have been preaching that for years. All your life you've been in church, you've heard that preached. It's still true. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, today's the day you get on board. That door is going to shut and you don't get another chance. But on that note, this morning if you're here and you are saved, thank God. You're getting on the boat. You're already on the boat. But no doubt you know someone who's not. While he plays, would you come pray for that person? Nathan, you go ahead and play. Whatever's on your heart. Do you know a lost soul that's not saved? Would you come find a place in the altar of the house of God? And would you pray that God would save them? If you want to have compassion and make a difference, the biggest difference you'll ever make in your life is on your knees in an altar. Would you pray this morning? All heads bowed, eyes closed. I just want to talk to you personally for a minute. No one's looking around. If you're lost this morning, would you just look at me? I want to talk to you just a minute. If you've never been saved, I want to tell you what my Bible says and what Jesus said. He said that if you've come to Him, if you repent of your sin and believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that He'd save you today. Come find a place in this altar this morning and just ask God to save you. Tell Him you're sorry for being a sinner. Ask Him to move in your heart. I believe that He will. Would there be anybody this morning that would say, I need Jesus to come inside my heart. I've never been saved. Would you just come on down here? We'll talk for a minute. More importantly, you need to come in here and talk with Jesus. He's the one that can save you. Altars are full this morning. We've heard the Word of God. If there be anybody, say, I need you to pray for me. I'm not saved. Would you slip up your hand? I want to pray for you. If there be anybody.